Next item on the agenda is James C. Smith, Jr., docket number 03-2500. Good morning, sir.
This is the commission consideration of an unauthorized 635-square-foot open-sided boathouse constructed at the end of a private pier owned by James Smith at his property situated along the Pocosin River in York County. The project is protested by an adjoining property owner and a nearby resident. Mr. Smith resides at 101 Oyster Cove Road in the Seaford section of York County. His property is situated along the Pocosin River, approximately 3.5 miles upstream from its confluence with the Chesapeake Bay. Numerous boathouses do exist along the Pocosin River. However, Mr. Smith's boathouse is the only one in his respective neighborhood. This is an aerial depicting the project location and the unauthorized boathouse. We received this application in December of 2003. And at that time, it was requesting a 275-foot-long pier with an L-head, catwalk, step-down platform configuration, and a 42-foot by 17-foot open-sided boathouse. This is the original plan view drawing, which I have enlarged, so that you can see that the L-head and step-down platform was proposed to be aligned to the left of the pier, and the catwalk and boathouse was aligned to the right of the pier. This is the original cross-sectional drawing submitted with the application, which depicts the open-sided design of the boathouse. In response to requests from the staff member who was handling this project at that time, revised drawings were received twice in March of 2004, March 3rd and March 30th. The original, or the first of the two revisions, still depicted the pier and the boathouse, but the second and final drawing only depicted a pier. This is the first of the revisions received, and while the boathouse and catwalk are still noted on the drawing, there is the elimination of the step-down platform from the L-head and a note at the top of the drawing noting the reduction in the size of the pier. In the second and final revision, this is the drawing that the staff member received for a 5-foot-wide pier with a 12-foot by 20-foot L-head, which I've enlarged. You'll note that there is no reference now to the step-down platform, the catwalks, or the boathouse. Based on our receipt of that drawing, and we can only assume that the staff member at that time that handled this project, who's no longer with us, assumed that the boathouse had been eliminated from the proposal. A letter was sent to Mr. Smith on March 31st of 2004 advising that the pier would not require a permit from the agency and that it qualified for the statutory exemption. That letter is the last item in your package for this project. It's item 6L. The letter makes no reference to the catwalks, the step-down platform, or the boathouse, and to date, no authorization has ever been granted for this boathouse from this agency. Approximately 2 years after that letter, the staff member was on an adjacent parcel and noted that the boathouse, in fact, had been built by Mr. Smith. They also noticed that the boathouse and the L-head configuration or orientation had been flipped to the opposing sides of the pier, contrary to the original drawings that were submitted. Letters were sent by staff on June 23rd of 2006 and again on August 16th of the same year, noting the violation and asking or requesting as-built drawings from Mr. Smith. Complicating this issue, the vehemency enforcement action at that time was set aside pending the outcome of separate litigation that was brought by the neighbors who were seeking removal of the boathouse as a violation of their neighborhood restrictive covenants. Project is protested by the adjacent property owner, Mr. Henry Jones, and in a nearby resident, Mrs. Marjorie Smith. Their letters are in your packet. Mr. Jones maintains that the boathouse diminishes his and his neighbor's view of the river and that it devalues their property. Both protestants further argue that the boathouse had been built in violation of their restrictive covenants and without the required permits from York County and VMRC. The York County did eventually issue its building permit after the fact and assessed a $100 fine to Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith has not provided an explanation to us as to why he and his contractor, Mr. Robert Holloway, proceeded with the construction of the boathouse without the local building permit. With respect to the court's ruling on the separate litigation, we were provided a copy of the final order in December of 2007. The courts did not require the removal of the boathouse and essentially ruled that the covenants did not run with the land, and Mr. Smith can probably give you additional detail on that hearing, on that matter, if you so wish. But they did not require the removal of the boathouse, and now it is before the commission. To summarize, in light of the objection letter received from the adjacent property owner, the boathouse does not meet the requirements for statutory authorization. Since it is protested, the boathouse requires a permit from the commission is considered to be a violation of Section 28.2-1203, subsection A5 of the Code of Virginia. Staff met with Mr. Smith and his contractor on February 14th of this year and confirmed that the structure measures as a 5-foot wide by 229-foot long pier with an 18 by 20.5-foot L head aligned to the right and 56 linear feet of 4-foot wide timber catwalk and, of course, the 635-square-foot open-sided boathouse. These dimensions and orientation neither conform to the original project drawings nor to the revisions that were submitted in March of 2004. To date, Mr. Smith has refused to provide the as-built drawings requested by staff. He believes and has suggested that they have permission to build both the pier and the boathouse based on staff's March 31st, 2004 letter. That letter clearly does not authorize the boathouse. In fact, makes no mention of the structure. However, were it not for the standing objection from the adjacent property owner, the boathouse would indeed qualify for the exemption provided for boathouses in code. The structure appears to be constructed within Mr. Smith's riparian area and should not pose impacts to navigation. As a result, staff recommends after-the-fact approval of the subject boathouse. Such approval, however, should be contingent on the assessment of an appropriate civil charge to both the applicant and the contractor. As an attorney and waterfront property owner, Mr. Smith should have been cognizant of the legal requirements for both local and state permits. In addition, as a qualified marine contractor, Mr. Holloway has been before you before and is well-versed in the state and local permit requirements. Commissioner, that's all I have. I'm available for questions.
Any questions from Mr. Owen, from members of the commission?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
I have one question on that restrictive covenant. There's a protective covenant that's part of the exhibits that includes a prohibition on the construction of boathouses in the subdivision. But you're deferring to York County, I guess the York County court's finding that they did not require removal?
They did not require removal, yes.
Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you, Mr. Owen. Is the applicant represented, present? I'm sorry, sir.
I'm Mike Ware. I represent him, Mr. Smith.
Okay, Mr. Smith, come forward. Mr. Smith, you raise your right hand. So I'm swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
You state your name, your address, and who you represent, please.
My name is James C. Smith, Jr. My address is 101 Oyster Cove Road, Yorktown, Virginia, 23692.
Thank you.
Commissioner Bowman, members of the commission, I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you today to address application 03-2500. It's my hope that with my remarks and the record that this matter can be resolved and reflect an accurate record of the file at hand. As noted in the narrative and as the commission is aware, I have disputed the characterization that what I built was unauthorized. It has been recited on numerous occasions that what I've done is in violation or is not authorized or is without permission. Those communications, in fact, have been set forth by this commission to my neighbors, to York County, Corps of Engineers, Daily Press. And the question that I have, according to the statute, though, and I think the issue that we must get to understand this matter, is what exactly is unauthorized? Statute 28.2-1203 defines the parameters of what can be improved, what can be built without need of authorization. In fact, what's exempt by the statute. Staff has already indicated to you, and the narrative discloses that, in fact, the structural improvements that are built actually conform to all the square footage parameters and safe harbors such that no authorization would be required from this agency. It would be a no permit required or no permit necessary application. As a consequence, with the pier itself being constructed in such a way that would not require authorization, I'm not certain I understand how I could have had it built and it be unauthorized. Secondly, the issue goes to roof over lift. Again, it's been acknowledged that the structural improvements that have been erected meet the safe harbor requirements under the statute that demonstrate that absent the protest letter, this would be an improvement erected that does not require authorization. Again, I'm not certain how that makes what I've done unauthorized. I think that brings us, frankly, to the issue that I think is the crux of this matter and the one that I've indicated for more than 2 years is the issue that needs to be addressed here, and that is the issue of notification. The statute stipulates that for certain improvements that are beyond safe harbors and for boat roof over lift or boathouses, as they're called, that are protested by an adjoining property owner, permit has to be issued. The only criteria, the only element of this file that exists that otherwise VMRC needs to permit is raised because an adjoining property owner is protesting what I have erected. What I've erected in and of itself meets the safe harbors and otherwise, as your own narrative discloses, would not be an item or subject to permission granted by this authority. I already have it by statute. I filed a JPA and an RP-17. My application identified my adjoining neighbors, gave their names, gave their addresses. It included drawings back in December of 2003. It included written description of the improvements that were to be built. Even on VMRC's own intake sheet or checkoff sheet by employees of VMRC, there's a narrative description that a boathouse was included in my application. There can't be any confusion, frankly, at that point in December of 2003 when I submitted the JPA and RP-17 that a boathouse was included in my application. Question?
I guess the question I've got is the initial application that set forth what you had intended to build versus what the other drawings and revised drawings reflect don't indicate from the record that I have before me that the boathouse is still present, nor is the alignment the same. I guess that's the question I've got. And since you've asked for questions, when you get to the final letter dated March 31st of 2004, in which we do clarify what is allowable under statute, if I were to have received a letter that said what it said, I would be scratching my head wondering, well, where is the boathouse that I asked for in the initial application? I guess that's where I'm having a little...
I think I could understand that, and certainly... I think if you let me indulge me one more minute, I'll proceed with some narrative that I have.
Absolutely.
I think we'll get to that.
I was
issue.
Just getting pensive.
Yeah.
Beg the question. I thought I'd.
And I'm happy to entertain the question as they come about. From the December 03 application, additional drawings were in fact submitted. They're dated March the 2nd. They were received by VMRC on March the 3rd. Those additional drawings also depict the boathouse and the dimensions, which in and of themselves are the same as had been originally described. The primary difference in the March 3 drawings is that the March 3 drawings cured what had been up to that point and set forth in the original application as a platform square footage area that exceeded the safe harbor under the statute. At the time, the safe harbor was 250 square feet for the platform, and the depicted drawings in December as originally filed showed a 5x15 step down and also a 15x20 platform. The 15x20 is 300 square feet and exceeded the safe harbor. That would have violated the safe harbor provisions under the statute. The March 3rd drawings, drafted by Robert Holloway and submitted at my request, were tendered to VMRC and stamped received on March the 3rd. Their date stamped 03, but in actuality it's 04. Those drawings as well clearly depict that a boathouse is part of the application before the commission. It also cured the one issue that I had up to that point believed was a problem or sticking point in what would otherwise be a no permit required application submitted to this commission.
Okay.
So at that point, I felt like the 15x20 platform had been cured by the depiction of the 12x20 platform or 240 square feet. That in March of 04 led me to then make several calls to Mr. Holloway to inquire about where the commission was in this process and how long does it take, because I've never filed anything before the commission before. It's easy to say I'm a lawyer and somehow that imputes some wealth of knowledge to me, but candidly, as a layperson, I've never been before this commission before. I've never had need to file an application, and except for reading the statutes or reading the regs, I'd have no more basis to know what's right, wrong, or what the process is than any other layperson. Nonetheless, I was anxious to go forward to get the permit. The protester to this file and I previously co-owned a joint pier. Because of events that transpired, we were not going to co-own that pier any longer. He purchased our interest in that pier. I was going to build a new pier.
Is that pier close by on the aerial, or is it farther?
The pier that we sold to the Joneses is the one that is depicted left of the two that are close together.
Okay, thank you.
Again, I called Mr. Holloway. This is mid-March, towards the late of March, trying to find out where the status was, because in all candor, given the backlog of work, I wanted to get on Mr. Holloway's work schedule. The commission needs to be clear that I was advised by Mr. Holloway I would not be put on his work schedule until I had a VMRC permit in my hand. He was not going to undertake any work without VMRC's letter. I asked him to put me on his list as a pending, feeling that it would soon be forthcoming that I'd get the letter. He refused to do that. He says, you get the letter, we get the letter, then we'll get you on the work list. Given his backlog of work, at that point I was looking at July, August before he could even start the improvements. Consequently, and I think partly in being tired of me badgering him by phone, he suggested that I perhaps contact by phone call VMRC directly, suggesting that perhaps a phone call by the property owner might help enlighten where this process and this application was. So, in fact, I called VMRC and I spoke with Tracy West, who is already noted as a staff member that's no longer here. I inquired about the application and was advised that the only thing in the application that was a problem was the 15x20 platform area. Candidly, I was quite surprised because it was my understanding that drawings had been submitted almost a full month before that cured that problem. And I asked about that, and Ms. West advised me that she did not have those drawings, that her file at that point still reflected a 15x20 platform that exceeded the safe harbor threshold in the statute, and she had no ability to issue a letter without addressing that before the commission if that was going to be the square footage that I asked for. Surprised that, in fact, she had no drawings, and startled because I had been advised that those drawings had been submitted, and your file before you demonstrates they, in fact, were received by this commission on March the 3rd, I asked Ms. West what this file needed in order to get this matter resolved. I was advised by your employee that what she needed in her file was something by me or by the contractor that represented that the square footage of the platform would be within the safe harbor of the statute. Since I knew the drawings had already been submitted or believed they had that depicted that, I asked what it needed to take. Did I need to get scale drawings done? She goes, I don't care if it's a fax by you. I just need something that shows the platform is below the 250 or does not exceed the 250 threshold.
Excuse me. Can I
yes.
Ask, at this time, why did you not fax her the drawing that she already supposedly had?
I did not have copies in my file.
Okay, and
Mr. Holloway sent those and had drawn those at my request and remitted those to Tracy West directly, but I did not have my copies from him in my file at that point to submit to her, which I will tell you in part caused me to wonder if, in fact, they had been submitted. I had been told they had, and, in fact, that was true. But I didn't have copies in my file to verify that.
Did you ask Mr. Holloway for copies?
Not during that conversation. I only asked for them after the fact and was told and expressed surprise by Mr. Holloway why she didn't have those. Nonetheless, as requested by Ms. West, I submitted the sketch that was depicted on the screen, which clearly is distinguishable from the other drawings. And the purpose of that request was twofold. It was in response to a request from an employee of this commission in order to proceed with moving this file forward. And I was advised that the only thing that was needed in order for this file to be completed was the depiction of the square footage, and that's the only dimension, frankly, set forth on that drawing. When she asked me for the sketch, I then provided it. I faxed it from my office. At no point did she and I, in that conversation, discuss the boathouse. At no point did she and I discuss any other component of the application or the dimensions of the improvements that were already supported by at least the original application, and I thought drawings of March the 3rd, which she claimed at that point she did not have, but at no point was our conversation regarding the boathouse, and at no point did I withdraw or indicate I was modifying the scope of the overall parameters of my application. The only thing the sketch was designed to do was bring into conformity the platform from a 15 by 20 to a 12 by 20 so it met the safe harbor criteria.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Fox, so when you submitted this drawing, you just left the boathouse off because that was not an issue?
Never was discussed.
And
when I asked,
you just reduced the size of the platform to comply with safe harbor.
That is correct. Ms. West told me that the only thing she needed was something in her file that represented or was an assertion by me that the platform would be within the safe harbor, because what she had in the file at that point was contrary to that.
Okay.
I was surprised it was contrary to that because I believe drawings had been submitted less than a month before. But nonetheless, I'm on the phone. She's sitting there telling me she doesn't have them and tells me what it takes to cure that problem. The real question that I had, frankly, from that, and that goes to the question that you posed to me as mm-hmm. to the purpose of that drawing, and I think when you asked me a moment ago, maybe that narrative brought forward helps clarify what that dialogue was. In all candor, my question, and one of the questions I've posed, is why my sketch was needed to begin with. Your file clearly documents that the 3304 drawings were in the file. Those drawings clearly depict the 12 by 20 platform. At the time I talked to Tracy West late in March of 04, she had no need for me to provide a sketch to depict a 12 by 20 platform when VMRC's file already contained those very drawings. This file could have been acted on at that point, at least from a structural standpoint of the improvements. So at that juncture, I still must ask, what then makes what I've done unauthorized? How have I violated somehow state law by erecting what I believe to have been depicted on applications filed with this commission? The issue this commission has to grapple with, in my opinion, is that the only thing that possibly is unauthorized by this filing is the fact that notice or publication was not had. That is a component of the statute under 28.2.1203 that adds an additional element to an application that includes a roof over lift or a boathouse. In fact, for all the drawings and structural exchanges I could have had with the commission, this commission nor I can cure that element that makes this file, quote unquote, unauthorized. Because once an objection is made and the notification had not been sent, which I have nothing in the file that indicates it ever was, the commission is frankly stuck because it needs to comply with that technical requirement. Notice has to be given. But notice is not part of my obligation. It's not up to the applicant to send the notice. It's not up to the applicant to file the notice of publication in the paper. I provided the names. I provided the addresses. In fact, I provided them from inception of the application. Protester Mr. Jones has sent letters to this commission indicating that Ms. West told him that I withdrew the boathouse. He attributes the remarks to a conversation that indicates I withdrew it because I became aware of the notification requirement. Frankly, gentlemen, I don't think that makes common sense when I've set forth the boathouse, the neighbors' names and addresses from the inception of the application. Notification was always known to be a requisite element and requirement for this application. It was not something that simply surfaced 2 years later in 06 because that's when the letter of protest surfaced. Notification was always an element. It makes no sense that somehow I would withdraw 2 years later part of an application or suggest that I was withdrawing an application in 04 because I just discovered notice was required. It was always required. It was always part of the application based on the submission of the drawings that I'd filed. So in my view, the only thing that might be considered unauthorized is the fact that the public notice or the notification hasn't been had.
Mr. Fox.
Mr. Smith, would you acknowledge that all the drawings, regardless what time, depict the platform as being on the left and the platform ends up being on the right?
I would, sir. And I've acknowledged to the Commission in Communications at all times that I certainly acknowledge that the ultimate erection of the improvements is a mirror image or flipped as to the platform versus the boathouse. In fact, except for the protest to this commission, that's not even a fact that you'd have, I think, as a commission, the right to approve or not approve, since my application would have been a no permit required letter from this commission. I'm not suggesting you don't have the power and the authority, and don't get me wrong that I'm somehow thinking that I'm able to proceed without participating in the system. But your own narrative declares that the structure and the improvements built warrant a no permit required letter. So, yes, the improvements were in fact different than the depicted drawing that was submitted. The platform in the drawing depicts the platform to the north. Ultimately, it was built to the south.
Why did you flip it?
In all candor, it was flipped because it moved the boathouse further away from my neighbor's property. And I felt it presented less of an encroachment that otherwise would have been there. Okay. It seemed visually to make sense to move that part away from otherwise a direct view out to the river. And so without any particular motivation or basis except seemingly in common sense, the boathouse was put to the north side and the platform was put to the south. Tracy West came and visited me on an established meeting date in July of 06. She walked the property and walked the structures. She came back and spoke to me and said that, in fact, the structure meets all the safe harbor requirements as set forth in the statute, including the dimensions for the pier and including dimensions for the roof over lift. She then looked at me and said, that leaves the issue of notification. And I responded to Ms. West that that was an issue that I could not cure. It's not within the applicant's control to cure the notification issue. I've been asked to submit after-the-fact permit. I don't believe that's appropriate, nor do I believe that's accurate as to what's going on here. I've been asked to submit after-the-fact drawings. Again, I don't believe that fully relates and reflects the status of this file. In doing so, I simply hold myself and my family to further litigation, further lawsuits brought by my neighbor who's unhappy with what I've done. They sued in York County Court. The fact is, contrary to the assertion in his letter, that they do have a right under the covenants and they simply chose not to pursue it because it got too expensive, As the commission knows from the copy of the court order I sent, they were told they had no right to tell me to take the boathouse down. The covenants, as Mr. Owen indicated, do not run with the land. They don't have a restrictive covenant against my property. They don't have that right. I asked for a response to communication following my meeting with Tracy and did not initially get a response from the commission. In fact, a period of time went from September of 06 until January or February of 08. I was told in the interim that, quite candidly, the commission was going to sit back and let's see if the neighbors could cure the problem. If the neighbors were successful in suing me and getting me to have to pull the boathouse down, that cured VMRC's problem.
I'm not sure that's really a totally fair characterization of how the commission works. If there are matters that are pending before a court, we then don't jump in and start taking action until those matters are disposed of. So, although we're both saying the same thing, I think maybe it's a little bit different way of the way it should be characterized.
I'll accept that as long as you'll recognize and understand that my correspondence of September 06 and thereafter repeatedly asking for explanations as to this matter preceded when I got sued. I was not sued until April of 07 by the neighborhood to try and enforce restrictive covenants that ultimately were ruled did not apply to my property.
Okay.
So at least from April to that point. I can't understand at some juncture once litigation ensues why everybody may be in a position where hands off until that gets resolved, and I appreciate you pointing that out.
Okay.
I'm concerned about the status of this application. I've tried to portray for you the sequence of events that occurred up through 06 when Ms. West came to the property in the subsequent communication that again said that I was the one in violation. I'd have to remind the commission that based on the statutory requirements and the improvements built, it appears that the only component under the statute that creates a quote-unquote violation or creates any action that is unauthorized is the fact that the notification was not made. And again, that's not something that I have control over. Any agreement on my part to file after the fact permits simply subjects me to additional litigation that I've already endured. In fact, communications from York County as well as VMRC continually saying that I'm the one somehow that's done something that's unauthorized, I believe fed fuel to the fire to get me sued to begin with. And so I was not in a position where I could simply, in order to perhaps more easily resolve this matter, simply agree to file an after-the-fact permit. I even objected in all candor to the nature of the publication that was sent that gave rise to this hearing. I objected to it because it inferred that I was doing it after the fact, and I, in fact, asked the commission staff to have an opportunity to sit down and try to craft a notice that would reflect the facts as they existed to at least account for my input to this matter. I was told that was not going to be undertaken because this was the type of notice that was always used for after-the-fact permits.
I do have one question.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. When you received this letter of March 31st, 2004, stating that you're in receipt of an application to authorize to construct, and it just discusses the pier and not the boathouse itself, did you show this to Mr. Holloway?
I'm sure I did. The pier actually wasn't built until 05.
Right. And there was no discussion between you and him that this letter did not give you authorization to build a boathouse?
In fact, I believe Mr. Holloway called Tracy West and inquired about the nature of the letter. And although those parties, neither one are here today, the communication between those two is that the application is filed for Mr. Smith as well as one for across the river, both of which included roof over lift, were both good to go. He could start the improvements. I had no basis from the March 3104 letter to know what the nature of a VMRC, we don't have to give you permission letter, would state. I'm not certain how far you would go in detail to simply tell me I don't need the authorization or permission. The statute itself, frankly, under 1203, includes roof over lift within the definition of a pier. So, frankly, reading the letter itself, you could conclude that includes the boathouse. And keep in mind as well, at that point, I had no basis to believe that anything existed as a file for VMRC for Jim Smith other than the full and complete composition of all the drawings that had been submitted. So I would not have been aware that Ms. West or that this commission ultimately chose to use my sketch as a wholesale replacement of the entire prior file and application.
So when you read this letter and saw the detailed dimensions of the pier, but no dimensions or reference to the boathouse.
You
felt that it didn't matter that the pier was described to a T and the boathouse was admitted. That wasn't a problem.
I didn't feel like it didn't matter. I didn't have a basis to know that was different from how VMRC would write its letter that says you don't need our permit.
Further questions?
Gentlemen. In conclusion, under these circumstances, it's respectfully my position that the improvements erected meet the statutory requirements under the code for a no permit necessary letter. Notice has now been given, obviously, since we're at this hearing. And while protest is made, it does not appear that the structure themselves give rise to a basis for which this commission generally would suggest or entertain the removal of the same. Finally, since the only possibility of a violation, it seems to me, is one of a technical nature, albeit still a legal one and important, it's not one that I had the ability to cure or rectify. Consequently, I don't believe it's appropriate to assign a civil penalty to an applicant who's taken all steps before this commission to comply with and do what's required and necessary, nor do I think it would be appropriate to assess such a penalty against a contractor who, notwithstanding his own prior knowledge, proceeded as well by the actions of the commission. I certainly appreciate the time that you've taken this morning to entertain my remarks. I'd certainly be happy to address or answer any other questions that I may now or in conclusion.
Further questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Commissioner.
We'll give you a couple minutes to rebut if anything comes up that may be necessary. Mr. Ware, did you want to be heard, sir?
Just one quick
comment. Yes, sir. Just state your name for us, please.
Sure thing. Good morning, Mr. Bowman, Commissioners. My name is Mike Ware. I'm an attorney. I represented Mr. Smith in the litigation which ensued in York County. To answer your question, Mr. Robbins, these covenants were a nullity. They were an attempt by a family subdivision project to record covenants that did not fall in the chain of title. In fact, as Mr. Smith purchased the property, he wasn't aware of them because they did not show up on a title search. And in fact, the conveyance from the original developers to the initial purchaser indicated that we have done nothing to encumber or restrict the use of the property. So that matter was heard in court, and that's why your question was the circuit court didn't make him tear it down, because there was nothing there to require him to take it down. So the reasons that we're here today with the new pier altogether are because you have an issue that arose after Isabel, which I don't think needs to be relayed here, which caused these two gentlemen to come to have separate piers. And they were moving in that direction. Mr. Smith has all along indicated to me that what he was doing as far as trying to comply with this commission, and in fact I was the one that suggested to him to write a letter to Mr. Grab and ask for an audience so that he could indicate how this timetable may have somehow come off track. He was never given that opportunity. So I think it's an unfortunate situation where the two were thinking they were going in the same parallel plane, but there was obviously a disconnect of communication, and I don't believe it's all within Mr. Smith's area of problem in this particular situation, and I ask you all to give it that consideration.
Questions of Mr. Ware?
Yes,
Mr. Schick?
Did you have any conversations with Mr. Holloway?
No, sir, I have not.
And in light of the information of basically hearsay evidence that he had had contact with Tracy West on the phone, you know nothing about that?
No, and I think everybody in this room is kind of devoid with what Ms. West knew or didn't know. I think even the report that y'all have says we assume right of what her actions were or what her knowledge was. So,
is there any particular reason why he was not asked or why he's not here today?
Mr. Holloway?
Yes.
I don't think he chose to be here, sir. And that's hearsay as well. No direct communication.
Further questions? I have one.
Yes, sir.
Did your client discuss with you the letter dated March 31st, 2004?
Before today?
Yes.
We discussed that after the fact. I mean, it's been a year or so ago, and when he brought that letter to me, I have to be candid with you. I mean, it may have given a flag to somebody. Mr. Smith is an estate planner. He's not your normal litigator. Any litigation, he farms out. He can tell you your trust and your estate documents to the T. So I would say when he gets a letter saying there's no permit required, he's going to do the same thing most people do, and that's no permit required. We're gone.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, gentlemen.
Anyone else in support of this project?
Mr. Chairman, may I ask counsel?
Yes, you may.
Do we have to concern ourselves with the restricted covenants, or are they removed from our jurisdiction?
That's entirely separate. So,
pardon?
That's entirely separate from this
entirely
matter.
Separate. So we can ignore those.
I believe so.
Okay.
I think the Court of Appeals kind of helped us with that one last month, thank goodness. Is anyone here in opposition to the project? Yes, sir. Good morning, sir.
My name is Jesse Henry Jones III. I live at 103 Oyster Cove Road. I am the adjacent neighbor.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Proceed, sir.
I had a prepared statement, and some of it was kind of gone over earlier by Mr. Smith, but I would like to go over it because it's just to keep my thoughts cohesive. My name is Henry Jones, and I'm one of the affected neighbors in this subdivision. And I want to say I'm here as an American citizen exercising my First Amendment right to speak to a government agency. Any comments I may or my make are my opinion on the topic at hand and protected by the Constitution. Trust me, I'll get to why I'm sitting there. You obviously know the history of the problem. The beautiful view we've enjoyed daily for over 30 years has been diminished. From the angle of my house, my view of the Chesapeake Bay is right across that boathouse. I can see the Pecosin River, can't see the bay anymore. You used to be able to see freighters and scallop boats and stuff, and now you kind of, it's different. The residents thought they had addressed this problem when they developed and subdivided this with covenants, which we've already heard about, and that's history. But that was our purpose in the lawsuit. It was our right to do that. The problem with this is there were large legal fees, and now we've been subjected to retaliatory lawsuits. Right now, our neighbors, we've been friends for 30 years, and we're scared to talk to each other because we were facing a lawsuit that says that we were using the court seal, that we conspired to harm Mr. Smith and his trader business. So right now, we can't even talk to each other without being on pins and needles. And this is a neighborhood where we've known each other for 30 years. I've been married for 30 years this year, and these people came to my wedding reception in that house. So this is a real small, tight-knit neighborhood, and this is what's really disturbing about all this. Now, I've said and still believe that Mr. Smith is a very educated and intelligent man. In the joint application provided by VMRC for waterwork projects, the instructions for a boathouse are very clear. The adjacent property owners must be notified as part of the application process. I never received notification. To the best of my knowledge, the neighbor on the other side never received notification either. I feel in my mind that this whole process has been circumvented. In Mr. Smith's and mine agreement, where I purchased the remains of a damaged pier, when I temporarily placed 5-foot slats where a 4-foot decking used to be on it, he wrote me a letter that said that the 6 inches were hanging over on his property and I needed to address that. So you can see that we're splitting hairs here somewhere. I get notified over a mere 6 inches hanging over and I don't even get notification of a boathouse. And the method the pier was first built is a little skeptical to me. The pier was built in 05. Boathouse appeared in 06. It was not built at the same time. I mean, I feel like it's just, I'm not saying anything's illegal, but I feel like everything is just being done in very bad behavior. We're working in secrecy and working in the shadows, and it's just not right. Anytime I've done something that was wrong, I've stood up on my own 2 feet, taken my medicine, and done what was right. And I just don't think this is happening here. I had a small issue with the Wetlands Board. When I found out I was doing something without a permit, I stopped what I was doing. I applied for a permit. I went right before the board. I did exactly what they said. I took everything out of the water 100 feet away, got my permit, and went back. Well, in this case, we're saying, well, let's just leave the boathouse. Nobody's hurt. Nobody's affected. You're the people that need to fix this. You're the ones that need to do things right. Don't be intimidated by prominent legal representation or anything like that, and just don't let arrogant, selfish behavior go rewarded. Just do the right thing and take the boathouse down.
Questions of the gentleman? Thank you, sir. Any further opposition? Matters before the commission for discussion. Further? Oh, I'm sorry. Any rebuttal, Mr. Ware? Thank you. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Schick.
Well, I am disturbed that the contractor's not here. That's definitely a key chain of events that occurred. He's done enough of this to know that this letter did not give him authorization to build that boathouse. He's not a new contractor. And, you know, I can't put my judgment in the place of Mr. Smith, but I would definitely be concerned if I got an approval for something and half of what I wanted wasn't on that letter. But, you know, his impression and my impressions might be separate. But there's no way that this boathouse should have been built. And also, Mr. Holloway knows that you can't just flip mirror images and construct them. So those things, and of course he's not here for us to talk to about that situation. But ultimately the responsibility does lie with the homeowner, and you know, when you hire somebody that doesn't follow the rules, unfortunately the homeowner is the one that also has to have the repercussions. That's my feelings on the situation.
Further discussion? Mr. Fox and Mr. Robbins.
Well, my reading of 28.2.12.1203, Section 5, would indicate that the pier and boathouse as constructed would comply within the safe harbor if they had been properly applied for and so on. So I understand that's the pier and the boathouse are within the guidelines of the law. The confusion is in how the process went forward, and I agree with Mr. Schick that it seems that there were certain flaws in the process that at least Mr. Hollowell should have picked up.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Several points. We've been told by our counsel that the restrictive covenants that are referred to by the protestants are not a controlling factor here. So that's one, I think, important issue that needs to be set aside. And when we look at this, the pier as constructed still has not been authorized. I mean, I think staff is correct in pointing that out. As built, it hasn't been correctly authorized. What has been authorized is simply the pier with a 20-foot by 12-foot L-head. So authorization is still necessary for the project. And as I look at the protest regarding the view, while I'm sensitive to those concerns, it seems that the open-sided construction would minimize the impact to the view. So I think the boathouse is appropriate, but Looking back through the history, I think the obviously the builder should have known better when they saw that the authorization letter was deficient and did not cover the boathouse. I think the fact that it wasn't covered in that authorization letter is still problematic for the property owner as well. And the property owner to date has not submitted as-built drawings for the project. And in the letter, which is our Exhibit 6C2, from the applicant to the commission staff, it says, quote, certainly plans are remitted to the commission for the construction of the improvements thereafter may vary as to layout. Am I to believe that the commission requires new drawings in each and every case such that layout may vary from the drawing? I think the answer to that is certainly yes. I mean, we have to have an accurate JPA application and have to know what's being constructed in order to authorize it. And if a departure is to be made from that that's substantial, the commission needs to be notified. And I think that while the property owner may or may not have realized that final authorization letter didn't include an authorization for the boathouse, the fact that the pier was reversed and the layout was changed substantially would have been known to both the builder and the property owner.
Further comments?
I do have one question.
Sure.
If we apply civil penalties to the contractor and he refuses to pay, how does that reflect on the situation with the boathouse and our if we were to approve it?
David?
Two separate issues. The failure to pay, the civil penalty could be
held against,
enforced by circuit court.
Against the contractor, but it has no direct attachment to the boathouse itself, correct?
Right.
I go back to the letter of March 31st, 2004, and Mr. Ware, in all due respect, I'm not a lawyer either, but if I was looking to build something over the water and I got a letter that said, we're in receipt of your application, which you seeks authorization to construct a 255-foot long by 5-foot wide private non-commercial open pile pier with a 20-foot by 12-foot L-head adjacent to property situated along the coast and river. One of the biggest components of it is the boathouse and lift. I'd be like, where is the boathouse and lift part of it? The next letter says, based upon your application and drawings that go directly back to the first paragraph. That's where I'm having the heartburn. As to whether the boathouse is acceptable for that neighborhood, I think, although that the covenants, as you said, are two different things, I think the court has spoken on the local issue there and basically has indicated tacitly or directly that the boathouse is allowable. It may obstruct views, and it may not be palatable to the neighbors. But I don't think that's where we are. I think where we are is something was built without the approval. It's there now. What do we do about it? So with that, the matter is before the commission for action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would offer a motion to approve the project as built with the requirement that a civil charge of $600 be assessed to both the builder and the contractor, and the property owner, that being consistent with minor environmental impacts and minor noncompliance.
And does that motion include the filing of a completed joint permit application correct drawings?
Yes, as-built drawings.
Right. So second to the motion.
Second.
Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.